what should be the roles and tasks of a creative producer?
Do you ever wish life had an undo button? Walking the balance between business and the creative life can be hard. But Matt and Shelby are here to attempt to answer the tough questions, so you don't need an undo. Presented by Made by Things, this is the Command Z Show.
And we're back with another episode of the Command Z Show. We've got to be in like the 70s now of how many episodes we've done. Do we know?
I think so. I think we're in the 70s. We might be close to 80.
Oh, wow. Maybe. We're getting really close to that 100 mark. That's kind of a big goal for me in the beginning when it was me and Dylan. I told Dylan, hey, when we do this, we're doing 100 episodes. And he's like, how about we just take it a week at a time? So I don't know what happens when you get to that point, but I don't know, I'm just really excited, having fun.
Well, have a really special episode, and then that'll be it. We'll leave after the 100th episode.
Maybe. Oh, that'd be fun. We'll just I always think that that's how they should do like TV shows. Like there should be like before you start watching them, it should tell you how many episodes this is going to be before you like commit yourself to it, right?
That is true.
Like,
see, we run into issues with that though, because you have shows where then they say we only want 2 seasons of this, and then the studios cancel them because they're like, oh, they're not going to make any more money, so we don't want them anymore. Don't want any more. Got to keep them running.
You ever like watch a season of something and then you don't realize it's the last episode, and you're like, whoa, that was like big. That's what I hate. Like, I need to know if it's the last episode before I watch it. Because, like, it's just different expectations that you put on things. Anyway, hey, listen, we have a special guest today. Right from Made by Things team. Katie, how are you doing?
Doing great. But I could definitely add to your response in terms of TV shows.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That last episode of Game of Thrones, I think, really, you know, disappointed a lot of viewers and fans for sure. But like, that's
I was disappointed.
Yeah,
I think I'm the only one that was just like, okay, I don't know. I feel like a spectator in certain like shows like that, where I'm like, I don't necessarily like. I was into it. It was a surprise. I think it could have been better. But I was also okay with it. I don't know. Maybe I'm the crazy one here. Anyway, outside of that.
You're the crazy one here, Matt. 100% the crazy one here.
I mean, if you Google that question or anything remotely close to that, it would 100% tell you I'm the crazy one. What about Lost? Either of you? Lost? Watch Lost?
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay, well.
It's not a Lost.
Yeah, that's another one where people are really, with the final episode and how it went, where I'm like, that's pretty good. And everyone else is like, that was awful. And I'm like, no, I thought it was cool. So that's both of your homework assignments. We're going to turn this into a Lost podcast. At episode 100, it then converts to a Lost watching podcast.
That'd I'm okay fun. With that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Katie, why don't you give a little bit of an introduction to yourself? Tell the people out there what you're all about.
Obviously, you know, my name is Katie, and I work for Made by Things. I work with these two talented people right here on this call. I work as a producer. I'm also event coordinating our event coming up in May. Making Midwest. But yeah.
Nice. And we're gonna jump into that. Let's actually jump into that a little bit before we get to our big question here. But you know what, Shelby, you lead the way on some of these questions here. You have a whole outline here. You go ahead.
I know we're organized today. Look at us go. Katie, I'd love to talk just a little bit quickly about Making Midwest and kind of what that is, where people can find more information about it, and yeah, just give us kind of the general rundown, because I feel like like, you and Matt are going to be able to give us the most information about this, you know, as we're kind of continuing our Making Midwest, you know, speakers series. I'd love to learn more.
So Making Midwest, just to tell you more about it, it will be taking place May 17th through the 19th, and it will be located at the Cosoni Center, located at CCAD's campus, right in downtown Columbus. And what we have in store for Making Midwest, the schedule is actually pretty packed. We have 7 presenters, 2 workshops, 1 creative business school, which is taught by Matt.
Yeah, I strongly recommend. Get your tickets now, makingmidwest.com.
1 State of the Motion graphic industry panel, live podcast hosted by Mother and MoGraph, along with plenty of opportunities for everyone to mingle in the lobby and get to know our sponsors and vendors. So there's a lot in store. And if you are wanting to learn more, make sure to check out makingmidwest.com. The schedule is all on there, along with ticket options.
Yeah. This has been a crazy thing. We've been working on for what feels like several years. I'd say the real planning kind of gets started in late summer, and being able to do something like this for the spring, it's a pretty difficult undertaking. A lot of problem solving that goes behind just trying to bring an event to life. We were just talking about it actually this morning, like one of the most difficult things is like just getting people to respond to to emails. But you know, Katie puts in so much work on all this stuff, and really excited to share with everybody what all that work has kind of led to. So yeah. Shelby.
Yeah, and just adding to, if you want to hear a couple of the speakers that we've had them on the Command Z show for the last couple of weeks, so you can go back and find those podcasts. We've had Kevin Rapp and Matt Garrison on so far, and we'll have some more in the future. So stay tuned, and you'll get kind of, you know, a little sneak peek into what they're going to be talking about. We're not going all the way in. You don't get everything.
Nope.
You got to come, show up, you know, have fun, come to the conversation, but you get a little sneak peek.
Yep.
And what's great too, what's also great about the presenters that we are bringing to Making Midwest, a lot of their topics can relate to a lot of people in the creative industry beyond motion design artists. Just want to throw that out there. Just definitely check out the schedule on our website and learn more. But a lot of great topics are going to be discussed between May 17th through the 19th.
Yeah. It's a type of event that honestly, it usually happens in major markets, big cities, but we're trying to, a goal of mine has always been to bring that sort of stuff to the Midwest, bring it to the smaller cities, bring it to Columbus. I'd love to do other cities at some point in the Midwest, but It's been a long journey that's kind of led us to this point right here. And I think this is going to be our biggest and best event that we've ever done. So hope you all can make it. All right. That's the ad. I hope you all enjoyed it. let's get to the meat and potatoes now.
Yeah, so we're going to have our big question of the day, as we do per usual. Going into this big question, is what should be the roles and tasks of a creative producer?
Yeah. Katie,
we'll let you kind of take that first answer.
Yeah. Starting off from the first thing that us producers kind of take on is onboarding the client and creating a schedule that works well for both teams involved. And throughout the project, I mean, one of the bigger tasks that we have is just always keeping in mind the overall timeline and budget, but also like making sure it works well with our team members and you know, communicating with them and see what's realistic. One thing that I always like try to keep in mind, like as a producer, is I'm the voice for the client. And something that I always try to keep in mind, like whenever we have internal calls or just throughout the development of the project, like thinking like the client, like, you know, keeping their brand in mind, and just having that in the back of my head and always, you know, thinking what's best for the client at all times. With any like project schedule, I mean, we always try to set up the timeline and the schedule to run smoothly as possible, but it's in the long run, it never turns out to be perfect. So trying to be innovative, you know, and trying to solve problems, again, keeping in mind both our team and the client, what works best.
Yeah. I think you said a lot of things there, a lot of like keywords that I always feel like, well, I guess let me start here. You know, Katie was the first producer that I ever hired on our team. So when Katie was hired, there was just two of us there. So Katie was the third hire. At this point, we had myself as an artist and we had Colin as an artist. And it was, okay, I can't manage these projects and work in them at the same time. So adding Katie to the team was like, it was a really strange because it was like, all right, now I have to like, well, we have to like think about how this works now in like a more official capacity. Like to have somebody to be there to help manage these projects, manage the communication. It takes me to what you're saying there, like just kind of being the voice of the client, not just the voice of the client, but you're also the kind of the voice of the team itself, right? It's kind of a two-way street. So to be able to like have those kinds of conversations with people on both sides, to be able to say like, okay, yeah, like this is a great idea, client, but like the team, this is just going to take too much time. We're not going to be able to do this, right? But on the other end, it's, you know, when you're talking to people on the team and they're like, oh, this seems like a bad way of doing this, or like they have a different way, or they start veering off of that, you're able to say, you know what, wait, here is the client's expectation specifically, and just kind of be able to kind of keep reminding people of that. And I think for us on our team, it's really weird, honestly, because when I said to myself, like, hey, we're going to build a team, in my head, I always thought, okay, this is just a team of like designers, illustrators, animators. Like initially when you think of these things, you don't think about the people to actually help move projects along, things like producers. So I guess that's one of the reasons why I really love this topic, because I think it's something that's not talked about enough, is the value of a producer in a studio or for a project like that. But Shelby, I'm going to go over to you because I feel like you probably have a lot more to say about it than I might.
I think it's really interesting. Like, I've been really looking forward to this conversation because I think it's true. Like, we don't really, I feel like producers get kind of left out of the conversation when it comes to creative teams. And I think it's really something interesting. I was thinking about this kind of like leading up to our conversation, and we watch a lot of Shogun now in our house. I don't know if you guys have seen Shogun. It is on Hulu. Shogun. It's really great. They originally made a miniseries like way back in the day. It's based on a book. It's really wonderful. Is it based on a comic book? Anyway. No, it is not.
Okay.
I thought it was too for a moment. There's something similar called Shogun, but no, Shogun, it's like based on like Middle Ages Japan and like one like British guy coming in. Anyway, there's the role of like the translator though, I think is so interesting within this. And I was thinking about this in terms of producers, and I think that's kind of a role that we have, is translator in between clients and artists. Because, okay, so like within Shogun, we have this translator who is going between English and Japanese, and she essentially is very much keeping the peace between all of this. Of, okay, this is what you said, this is how I'm going to translate it so there's not a war breaking out. And I think that that's kind of something that we're able to do of, okay, this is what the artist needs. This is what the client needs. And we have to kind of strategically pick, how are we communicating these feelings and ideas between these two groups of people? Because we don't want there to be conflict. We want everybody to feel heard. And it is that little bit of like an advocacy, and then also that translation of how we're kind of choosing to go about leading this project through communication. And honestly, I think that's one of the most creative aspects that there can be is, I mean, it's like writing. It's the choice of, it's word choice. It's how we choose to move forward within something.
For sure. Like even like how we word things, it has an impact on creativity for our artist. And so like trying to make sure that things aren't as like structured to allow them to create, or try to avoid keeping things set in stone. I mean, it goes right back into being a translator or even like a peacekeeper in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be hard sometimes too, because I don't know, I guess that's kind of another part of this is that, I mean, like you said, conflict arises pretty much constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes something, there's so many possible problems that can happen, right? It could be like, okay, one of the artists on the team, maybe they have a family member that's ill and need to go to the hospital twice in 2 days. And whenever that happens, you're like, oh, okay, like, well, I was expecting this thing to get done on this day. So now, you know, how do you solve this, right?
Yep.
And I think that, like, it's such a hard, it's an example of a small problem, but that can really compound to be a very large problem if it's not sort of like handled immediately.
Right.
And that's, I don't, that's one of the things that, I don't know, it's nice having somebody around to be like, all right, like I can sometimes just say, you know, I guess my role as creative director, I'm like, I have found a problem. Or sometimes they're obvious, but sometimes I'm like, hey, there is a problem here. And usually, you know, my expectation is that, you know, our producers on our team help solve whatever that problem is. And again, you know, sometimes it's something else, like maybe like, hey, the client's not like really into this right now of like what we're doing. And I'm trying to give more examples of all these possible problems that we've come across, but I think a lot of it also comes down to, we talk about communication and translation. And I think another big part of it is expectations. I think it's a big part of my job as well, is always relaying what the expectations are to clients and to artists. But I think that's another problem also for producers to have to try to handle and be able to manage. Cause if a client's expecting this like big Marvel quality like film, and we give them like a 15 second like typography based video, like obviously, hit the microphone there, sorry. When I get really excited, I start waving my hands around and I start smacking microphones. Anyway, yeah, so it's just that idea of like, if we deliver something that's different than what's expected, honestly, a lot of that kind of that responsibility falls onto our producers to make sure that that there is that alignment that's there.
And I think it just falls back on like communication, like especially like with those expectations, just, you know, constantly looping in the client or our point of contact at that time, like how things are progressing, and always updating them. So then that way it's just, it doesn't come to a surprise. I think that what really helps is that communication.
Right. Surprises. I think that's a key word there too, where it's even a creative process isn't always linear,
right,
and easy to follow. But at the same time, we need to find a way to go through a process without there being surprises for either side.
Right.
And that's another part of the struggle, I feel like.
But,
let me kind of go back a little bit here. again, Katie, as the first producer on our team, at the point of you going onto our team, you didn't necessarily have a whole bunch of experience being a producer, but you had experience being able to manage communities, be able to be extremely organized. Honestly, that was one of the big things that I noticed about you right away was like, all right, she is incredibly organized. Doesn't necessarily have all this experience doing this stuff, but has all the skill sets it takes to be able to do something like this, which is especially weird for me to make this decision because you were the third person on the team where I'm like, we had to sort of figure out a lot of this stuff together. Where I was like, okay, well, this is how I would normally do things, but that's whenever it was like just me sort of doing this stuff. So it was those first 6 months, I would say, especially was us just like kind of brainstorming about like how this could best work. I thought that was a really fascinating time, but I would love to hear kind of your perspective on getting started on the team and just those first several months and even kind of where things are right now for you.
Yeah. No, I remember those first 6 months like pretty clearly. And it was just, you know, one thing, like I was trying to just have an open mind about everything and just absorb as much as I could. And, you know, just kind of use the skills that I've already had, but, you know, be able to like kind of pivot into this role. And like the first 6 months, I remember we would like, okay, like these are your responsibilities. Like, you know, this is what you're going to be taking on. And like, so just kind of like understanding too, like, what is it that I can handle? Like, what is my bandwidth?
Right.
And I still, I mean, to this day, I still have trouble with that. But, but like, I think that was like just kind of realizing what is realistic. And I remember like the first project I was on to as well, like just thinking about like, you know, just being in that project, like just from the beginning of it and just understanding like the process even more. It felt, at times it felt like a foreign language at points.
Right.
But
right.
As you know, after the first project, moved on to the fifth project and the 10th project, and things just got easier. And you kind of start developing your own style on how you approach things, or like client communication. So I think it improved with time.
I think for me, that was, I kept wanting to just like throw you into things and being like, all right, like, but like you said, yeah, I was kind of also like, I don't know what you're sort of capable of. I don't know at this point, like, I don't even know what a producer is capable of or what should be the expectations right. of a producer. So again, that's where we're like kind of learning together where I'm like, oh, okay. Like you can do multiple projects at the same time. That's cool. I didn't know that. I thought that was really fascinating too. Of just like kind of how you picked up on certain things and like the things that you decided to keep and the things you decided to kind of leave behind. And I mean, I think you also said it, but like, I think it's a thing where, you know, you keep on growing. It's not like something where you just learn it and you're good. Like every project that sort of comes up and has some sort of issue, you're like, oh, okay. Like that's one of the things that I love to see the most out of both of you is, we're working on a project and you're like, wait, we need to make sure the client does X. And it's so clear why you're asking for that, because three projects ago, like we didn't have this thing. And like, it's just really clear that like the lessons that are learned to be able to adapt and get better over time and help with all that communication. So can you talk a little bit about like how things are different now for you than they were in those early days?
For sure. I think one thing that has improved is probably like stress level. I mean, you kind of look at it as like a meter. Right. Like in the beginning, I was like, the meter was like clear over and I'm like, oh shoot. But then it slowly started to, you know, decrease within time, just because of the knowledge that I learned and learning from the problems that come up. Yeah, I mean, like in terms of like the stress levels, it like has definitely like decreased, or like just because of the knowledge that I've learned, or even like the problems that have been solved on specific projects, or even like the types of animation. I mean, each problem is different, and how it's, you know, how that problem's approached. I mean, there's different ways it could be approached.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, though, is like being creative still, right?
Right.
I guess like saying that, you know, creativity is about being able to make connections and solve problems based on past experiences or something along those lines. And it, I don't know, like, I definitely know that in those early days, I think it was definitely, I mean, it's stressful for both of us. We're trying to figure it out together.
Sure. Right?
But then again, yeah, once we get to that point, once we face, I guess the analogy that I always go to is like in baseball, you always, when you're warming up, you put the donut on the bat to make the bat heavier so that when you go up to the plate, the bat feels incredibly light.
Right.
And now obviously, you know, there's, you don't want to put too many donuts on your bat, then you're just, yep. It's just not helpful. Right. And sometimes that's what it gets to. So I guess I always see it as like each project is like, all right, here's a new weight that's going to be put onto you, that it's going to feel heavy at first. But once you figure out how to kind of solve that problem, that's how you learn.
Right.
Because here's the thing, like they don't, maybe they try to, but I don't think that it's really possible to teach being a producer in colleges. Like there are programs that sort of probably help you a little bit. But truthfully, I just feel like that's one of those things that you don't really get the knowledge you need until you actually get into it and really experience it and see what it's like. And like, I know, again, from those first 6 months, I feel like you learn more in that amount of time than maybe you did at college. I don't know. I'm making assumptions here, but like, I'm sure that like, there's just so much happening every single day and so much stuff to kind of learn. Right. Yeah. Shelby, curious in your thoughts on some of this stuff too.
Yeah. That's actually like, I think about that too, because it's like, oh yeah, I'd love to go back and like maybe get like a certificate in producing or something like that. But it's just such a hard thing, I think, to be able to teach, because I think you can teach the theories of producing. It's like, okay, this is a software you should use. You know, here's like something applied, or like, you know, the ability to pivot. But I think it is so hard to really be able to like teach producing unless you're in it. Because I remember like the first thing that I produced a short film that I was also acting in and I wrote. That is the dumbest thing you could ever do. Like, why? Don't produce something that you're also like so actively like working as your very first project, because mm-hmm. it's such a hard thing to do. And you don't think about it because everyone tells you, oh, producing, nobody even knows what those people do. It's not that hard. Right. It's like, well, you're right. One of the most involved people on the team because you're there from the very beginning to the very end. And it's something that when I first started, it was the most stressful thing in the world, but I fell in love with it because it is something that's so involved, because I mean, I'm a control freak. So I love that idea of like, I have my hands in something the entire time and I'm always there. I'm always present and I get to follow up with it for years. Right. And it's something really special, but I think it is something that's really hard to teach someone unless they're really actively doing it. And you just have to kind of keep going over and over and over. It's every new project, you're learning something new. Every single time, every new client, every client relationship, as you're building that relationship, you could be with that client for 3 years and you're still going to learn something new every single project, because people change, projects change. And I think it's something where, you know, we always say that we're lifelong learners. I think if you really, really, really want to be a lifelong learner, producing is the thing that's going to teach you the most forever, your entire career.
For sure. It's just like each project, like we're receiving another tool for the kit to, you know, or even I'm pretty sure I've heard this analogy from Matt, like to sharpen the axe, like just to slowly like improve as you like as you go through the motions. But
that's, I guess, the one thing that I have to talk about at some point, and I tell you, both of you, this all the time, but like, it's every producer, like, there is no like one way to produce projects. And that's one of my favorite things, both Katie Shelby. Both you have different styles altogether in like how you go about managing projects. And it's so much fun for me to see that there's so many different ways to do that, right? And I think part of it is, well, I think a lot of it is just kind of basing it on some of the experience that you have personally, but also some of the things that might be more interesting to you potentially, where it's like on a small team. Well, here's the thing, like how you define producer on our team is different than how you describe producer on like a movie set. Yep. And even not just on our team, you know, if we have a team of 10, another team of 10 would use their producers completely different as well. So I guess how I've always seen producer is it's really just leaning into what the strengths are as for the individual and let them sort of operate in that way. And I try to do that with everybody on the team, honestly, is like understand what the strengths are of each person and let them really play into that. But again, there's so many parts to it on our team where it's like, you're not just watching the calendar and making sure that we're hitting the dates. Yes, you're also looking at the financial side of things and making sure we are sort of on track. It's taking a look at the team's schedule overall. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing where it's like, okay, well, project comes in, it's handed over to one of you, and all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, I have this artist on this project right now. So like, either we have to find a new artist to be on this certain aspect, or we need to figure out how that works with the calendar. And that's probably an element that's never talked about right there alone, is that there has to be collaboration between the two of you too. There's the account management side of things, which again, bigger companies, they have dedicated account managers that just hang out with a client all day long, apparently, and give them gift baskets or whatever they do. I don't know. but there's also that element to things where it's like, hey, like, you know, when we work with somebody, it's like, this is kind of your client. This is your relationship, that even if we're not in project with them, the expectation is to still, you know, have that sort of communication with them on occasion, which I know that gets super tough for the both of you. Again, we're a small team. And if both of you are on multiple projects, to even like, you know, start reaching out to some of the old clients that we've had and kind of manage that stuff. I also see that as part of my role too, obviously, is I'm account manager, I'm sales, I'm creative director. But yeah, I think that's just with any small team though. Any one role has to take on several different tasks. Just the big differences between a company with 100 people where somebody can just manage just this one small aspect of things, which definitely sounds nice sometimes, but at the same time, I feel like the both of you probably are able to take a lot more ownership of the projects that you run with. So I'm curious to hear about your perspective on that. Like Katie, like as far as like a project ownership perspective goes, when you go through those projects, like how does that feel as a producer?
I mean, in terms of like owning a project, I feel like I take it on and I kind of take things a little personally because I, you know, I adore that project and I want to see it through and I want it to be successful. So in a way, like I mean, some people may see that as like a negative to take it personally, but like it's also showing that, you know, you care about something so much that you just want to see it through. And so I think just, I don't know, like it's, I just put all my heart and effort into something and I just want to see it through to be successful. But yeah, and just like, I think also just trying to keep like the artists and our team members, like keeping their spirits up too as well. Cause I know, you know, doing something like over and over and over again, like it can get kind of uninspiring. So like just trying to give them words of encouragement, like keep, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. Like just, you know, keep moving forward.
I like that. Shelby?
Yeah, especially like on that last point, Katie, I really agree with that of like, if we get on a project and it's like, okay, I know that they're going to be doing this over and over again. And you definitely have experience with this, like doing larger projects where it's like, this is 2 years of kind of something that we're working on for a long time. And it is something that's really, I take a lot of ownership in all the projects that I'm on, because I do feel like, okay, this is something where, you know, I'm one of the leaders on this and I want to make sure everybody feels comfortable and heard and seen. And if I don't have a passion for it, they're not going to have a passion for it. So, you know, as a producer, you are kind of leading the vibe, I guess, of the project is, you know,
leading the vibe.
So that's, it's something you have to do. And I think about too, like, you know, the Oscars just happened. And when you win Best Picture, it doesn't go to the director, it doesn't go to the writer, it doesn't go to the actors, it goes to the producer. And that's the most coveted award that you can win at the Academy Awards is Best Picture. And it's because that producer saw that project through for the entire project. And it's theirs, it's their baby. And they were able to lead that team to that final Best Picture award. And I love that. I love the idea of, you know, leading the vibe for the team and making sure that everyone feels as passionately about something as I do.
For sure.
Yeah.
Or even like,
all right, look, go ahead. Sorry.
Or even from like product development, like even taking something from just the idea and actually turning it into the finished product, like going through like pre-production and like seeing like the variations that we went through for like style frames or characters, and like just seeing the final result in the end is just so, it's the word, like it's so satisfying. Yeah. And I hope the whole team as a whole feels the same way, and I bet they do. Just because it's just the amount of work and time that goes into something, like just being able to create like a finished product is just like satisfying.
What do you think as our final thoughts here, what is the most important thing that a producer should do on a team? Who wants to go first?
There's so many. I can't really.
You got to pick one. All right. I'll go first here. I would say the most important part. Yeah, you're right, Katie. There is so many, and it's hard to figure out just what one would be. But the thing that always comes to my mind is just, if we're going to narrow this down to a single word, it's communication. Because ultimately, all the work that a producer does is an effort to make communication better for everyone. Yes, there's obviously a lot that goes into that communication, that one, that single word, but I would say that is the most important thing to do. Outside of that, I guess I do want to talk a little bit about, like, you know, what does it take to be a producer? And I think we've kind of already talked about like a lot of those different elements at this point. But what I would say is, being organized, which again, I think plays a role in that communication, because you can't possibly communicate well if you're disorganized. But if you can keep things organized, and if you can lead a vibe, if you can, I don't know, I guess the last part is you have to know how to be an advocate for others and yourself at the same time, right? And like you say, Katie, like you take this stuff personally. Truly, I believe that's one of the things that sets our team apart from others, is that we do, all of us, treat this pretty personally. Now, it's not like a requirement. It's not in the job description. And I think it's just because we're a smaller team. And when we work on something, we are all so responsible for it. Where if any one person isn't pulling their weight in a project, it's pretty easy to see it.
Right.
So like nobody wants to be that person, right? Especially on our team. And I guess that's why I talk about like the ownership side of things. But anyway, being able to advocate for both sides, I think, is probably the second most important thing that a producer could do. So go ahead, whoever wants to take it from there.
I see that was hard to even just choose one.
I know, I screwed up.
I can go. I'll grab, Matt already stole the most obvious one, is communication. What the heck, Matt? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to grab advocacy, I think, is for me. And I'm saying this, we're going to bring in Myers-Briggs for a moment, which I don't believe in. But my Myers-Briggs personality type is the advocate. In air quotes, I can't remember what all the little letters are, but mine's advocate. So I'm going to say advocacy for me, because I love the ability to like make sure people feel heard within a project of, is everybody feeling okay? You know, that's something I talk about all the time, is like, I'll be like chatting with Matt about a project. I'm like, do you feel okay? Because if you feel okay, I think everybody else probably feels all right. It's like, how can I advocate for every single person within this to make sure everybody is feeling comfortable and heard and seen? Because even if maybe a piece of feedback doesn't make it into a project, were they at least able to voice that concern, and were we able to have that conversation about it? Because that's meaningful. Just having a conversation about something, even if nothing comes of it, that's really important for that person. And I love being able to be that person that is leading that conversation and making sure that those people feel heard. That's one of the things, I would say, if you're looking to be a producer and you're, you know, wondering what it takes, I think that's a really important aspect of it.
I like it. Sure. Katie?
Yeah, I love that response, Shelby. Wish there was a way to respond like with emojis on here, but apparently not.
You're looking around for that's the real thumbs up.
So. So we talked about communication, advocacy. Innovation. Innovation is a big
nice
one.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think that goes hand in hand with problem solving. And it's not just, you know, the producer on the project to be innovative. I mean, like the team as a whole, like I know our team is very innovative, especially like when problems occur. So just trying to like solve problems that is, you know, cost effective, but also time effective too, as well. Keeping in mind that timeline.
Yeah. I like it. All right. That's all we have here today. Katie, so much thanks. Sorry. Thanks so much. I feel like Willy Wonka here. thanks so much for spending time with us, having this conversation. It's fun to hear a little more of your perspective on some of the stuff, and enjoyed hearing more about Making Midwest from your mouth instead of my own for once. MakingMidwest.com. All right. And Shelby, thank you so much also for producing this podcast. See what we did there.
You're welcome.
What was that? Little you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay. And for everyone else listening out there, appreciate you as always. And love you. Bye.
Comanzi Show is created by Made by Things. And if you have a question you would like us to discuss, you can send a message at cmdz.show. And if you like what you hear, leave a review. We'll see you next week with a brand new show.